We're not finished with Judges yet, but we're going to look at Daniel tonight. It's going to be a topical type message. Usually we look stick in one passage of scripture, but on Wednesday nights. But we will look and probably finish up Daniel in 2 weeks from tonight. Next Tuesday night is our prayer and praise service, but tonight we got a message, and it's called Getting Others to Declare God's Glory. So anytime you get to it, when I get towards the end of the year, I start thinking about all those different messages and sermons that I wanted to preach when it goes along with the theme. And usually as it gets to be closer and closer to the end of the year, you say, well, man, I wanted to do that one, and I wanted to do that one, and it doesn't always work out. So we're looking forward to, between now and the end of the year, looking at a few different thoughts about declaring his glory. And the title of tonight's message is Getting Others to Declare God's Glory. You could call it Daniel Declares the Glory of God or Daniel Declares his Glory. But the one thing I'm interested in and one thing I'd like to bring across tonight is in the story of chapters 1 through 5, you see there's people, kings and other people that are praising God. You see at the end, you know, from Daniel's example and from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's example, you see Nebuchadnezzar on his face praising God. You see Darius on his face praising God. You see different. So it's a really interesting story and a really interesting thought. When we declare his glory, it's something that we want to do to those that are around us. But in our lives, we want them to learn from us how to declare God's glory also. I have my Mr. Gregor, I have this thing here, but it's not lighting up very well, so we're going to see if it works. So it's not working. It doesn't look like it wants to work for me tonight. Try it again. Okay, there it goes. Oh, no, you did that, didn't you? So we're going to tell you the next slide each time. So someday we'll learn how to make this work and make it work all the time without a problem. But it's okay. But we got this, and Daniel declares the glory of God, or getting others to declare his glory. So the first slide is going to be talking about the definition. I know not everybody was here when we introduced this theme at the beginning of the year, but that word declare means to make known, to tell explicitly, to manifest or communicate plainly to others. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to declare his glory. We're supposed to live a life where people will say, hey, there's something special, there's something different about that individual. There's something, you know, and we don't want people to look at us, and we don't want people to say, hey, that's great about us. We want people to look at us and say, he must serve a great God. And so when we talk about declaring, it means to explicitly on purpose to manifest and communicate plainly to others a certain fact. And we want that fact to be that there is a great God. There is a great God that you should serve. There's a great God you should give your life over to. There's a great God that has done so much for me. I can't do anything else but praise him. I want with my life to declare very plainly, very explicitly, to make known to everyone around us, I am God's, he is mine, and I am going to serve him. And so that's what the story of Daniel, I think you'll see here in the first five chapters. I know some people are like, we're going to go over five chapters. We're going to look at stories in the different chapters. We won't take all night with it. But I'm going to go off the fact that many of you know a lot about the story of Daniel anyway. So the second thing, okay, so we're supposed to declare what? His glory. What does the word glory mean? There's some different definitions. It says the magnificence, the great beauty, the splendor of God. That's what we want to, I don't think we should. Many times we do not adorn the doctrines of God. Many times we make God look bad to others. We make him think like he's some type of hard taskmaster. Or we make him think, well, I got to do this. God is great. God is wonderful. He is magnificent. He is beautiful. And everything about him is just amazing because he loves us and he cares for us. And many people don't feel that way about God. They look at him some guy up in the sky with lightning bolts. And if you mess up, he's going to throw lightning bolt at you, or they think of him some grandfather upstairs, father time type image. You know, God is great, and we're supposed to declare his glory. And you're going to see this from Daniel's life. He believed in that. He felt that way. He says, you know what? I belong to God. I'm going to serve God, and no matter what happens in my life, I'm going to stand by the Lord. And we think also it talks about glory, talks about praise ascribed in adoration, honor and praise. So you see in the next slide where it says, let your light so shine before men. And I like that verse. You know, we're supposed to let our light shine before men. Everybody's supposed to see our light. People are supposed to know that we're a Christian. Reminds me of that joke. You know, the preacher asked the guy who only comes to church on Christmas and Easter. You need to join the army of the Lord. And the guy says, well, I am in the army of the Lord. And the preacher says, well, why do you only show up at Christmas and Easter? He says, I'm in the secret service. See, that's why I need to say it's a joke ahead of time so you guys can laugh at the end, because sometimes you don't know if it's a joke. But he says, let your light shine. It's something that you're supposed to be shining. You know, where is it supposed to let your light shine? What it says, before men. This is the idea here that we're not supposed to be some type of secret agent. We're supposed to let our light shine before men. It means that others should know that we want to declare the glory. It means others should know that we're a Christian. And I'm not saying we need to wear a pin on her. And once again, some people do wear pins, and sometimes people wear Christian t-shirts. But if you're going to do that, make sure you're living for God too. I've seen sometimes people wearing these, you know, these bumper stickers. We live for God, and they don't live by the rules on the traffic, and they run people over, you know, road rage type things. Don't put Faith Baptist Church's bumper sticker on there if you're going to do that. So don't be acting rudely to a waiter or a waitress and to give them a track. You know, make sure that you're showing, letting your light shine before men, that they may see your good works. Now, you know, the Bible does talk about our alms and our prayer, the right hand not knowing the left hand, and we're not doing it to be seen of men. The hypocrites do that. The Pharisees do that. But what the Bible is saying here, that the love of Christ will reflect off of us so much that other people will see it. That the love of Christ just reflects off of us. And as it, the people will see that, and they're going to see the things that you do, and then they're going to do what? They're going to praise you? No, they're going to glorify God. They're going to declare his glory, and they're going to say, man, that's, I don't know how you can do that. And declare, and it says, glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And one of my favorite examples of this is the story of Daniel. And in the next slide, it says, Daniel declares his glory, but there's another step. And he gets others to declare his glory. And I think that's an important thing. We were trying to, you know, I'm going to declare the glory of God. I'm going to do this. But from our lives, there should be a ripple effect that somebody sees what you have. And they are so interested that they see your good works. They see your light shining, that they glorify your God that's in heaven. And they say, I want to praise him too. I want to glorify him too. And we probably all have family members. We're going to go see some family next week. And the majority of my family members profess to be saved. But, you know, they don't live as dedicated of a Christian life as maybe our family does. And so I was asking the Lord, you know, give me the opportunity to be a witness. Give me the opportunity to show them that I'm not crazy and gone off the deep end because I want to go to church every single time the doors are open, and because I want to read the Bible and I want to talk about the Bible and I want to sing songs about God and those things. I mean, Lord, help me have influence there. You know, help me declare your glory amongst my family. And are they evil or wicked? No. Many of them go to church some. But at the same time, I want them to see the fact that there's a light, that Christ has lighted our life so much that they want to also praise him. Not be like me. I don't even want to be like me, much less I want somebody else to be like me. I want to be like Jesus, and I want other people to be like Jesus, and that's the point there. So let's look here at these things. There are five things here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yep, five things here that Daniel did that I think is going to help us to understand how to get others to declare him too. The first thing is Daniel purposed in his heart. Purpose in your heart. If you truly ever want to get somebody else to declare his glory because of your actions, if they want to see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, you're going to have to purpose something in your heart. You're going to have to say, I am God's, I belong to him, and whatever he wants me to do, I am going to purpose myself for him and for his purpose. For those in the room that might not be too familiar with Daniel, we'll tell you a little bit about the story. Imagine a country comes into America and takes the best, and they conquer America. I mean, they put America to shame. They burn down all these things. And they take the best and the brightest captive back over to another country. When I used to go through Daniel, I used to think about Russia. You know, if Russia came over here and they took us over and they took all the best and the brightest and they brought them over there to train them to make them good Russians. And, but, you know, that's what happened with Babylon here. Babylon was the world power at the time. God allowed them to go to Israel, go to Jerusalem. They destroyed it. They took captives, the best and the brightest young people. And that's what, and they were going to train them to be what? Good Babylonians. They were going to train them to be good soldiers in their area, good kingsmen and good, all those wise men and things like that. Daniel's one of the best and brightest. Three other men that are the best and brightest. I call them men, but they were probably youngsters, anywhere between the ages of 14 and 17. Their names was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Most of us know them better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I don't think there's anything wrong with knowing the Hebrew name. That's the name that you know, glorifies our God, but that's a whole other thing. So we see here in this story that Daniel is brought. He has traveled a long journey, many miles away. If he is now a slave for Babylon. He did not come because he wanted to. He came because he had to. And while he is there, it says he purposed in his heart. That meant that even though he's away from his priest, even though he's away from his mama and his daddy, he is away from every religious thing that's good. Now he has some friends here, but besides that, it's pretty much all anti-God, at least the one true God. They have all these other false gods and they have all these other things, but Daniel is in a location where it would be easy for him not to live for God. As a young person, it would have been really easy for him to say, you know what? The God of heaven and the God of earth and this Jehovah we heard about, he allowed Jerusalem to come and be destroyed. He allowed Jerusalem to be separated from my parents. And most of the time, they actually killed the older people. So he might even watch his parents or his grandparents be killed by these people that are taking him back over to Babylon. It talked about the skulls that they lived in, left in piles because of the fact that the people they killed. It was a very violent culture. So he could have said, because God allowed that to happen, I'm not going to worship. I'm here in Babylon. I'm going to make a good life for it. They thought I was the best and the brightest, and they're going to train us. They're going to treat us well. They're going to feed us the king's meat. They're going to give us the king's drink. We can live it up here. He could have done that. But he knew God. He believed in God. And he purposed in his heart, it says in Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. This was something he made a decision. I am not going to defile myself. Now we use a portion here, you know, when it talked about with the portion of king's meat nor with the wine which he drank, therefore he requested of the prince. We use that idea when it comes to the meat and to the wine. But this is something, if we truly want to declare the glory of God, we're going to have to purpose in our heart, and we're going to have to say, I am God's, and I belong to God, and I'm going to purpose in my heart, even though when times get tough, and even though when times get hard, and even though it seems like God isn't working, it seems like God isn't moving, and it seems like God isn't answering my prayer, I'm going to purpose in my heart, I'm not going to defile myself. That no matter what happens, I'm not going to change because I believe in God. See, I don't think he made this decision that day. I don't think he looked at the things that were there in front of him and said, that doesn't look any good anyway. I'm going to go ahead and... No. He made that decision probably way back as a boy. And I see the character of Daniel, and I think about the character of probably Daniel's parents and his grandparents. And I know the Bible doesn't talk about them at all. Or the character of Daniel's priest at the time. Someone had to say to this young man and show to this young man that he needs a purpose in his heart to live for the one true God. And if we ever are hoping that we can cause others to praise and declare his glory, because God is due that glory. God deserves that glory. And if we're only going to do it in our lives, we're going to cause somebody else to do it. We're going to have to purpose in our heart. We're going to have to say, Lord, no matter what the circumstances are, I'm still going to do it. I still belong to you. So if we truly want to declare his glory and get others to declare his glory, we're going to have to remember, like Daniel did, circumstances don't matter. Living for him does. Second thing I want you to think about is not only did they purpose in his heart, the next thing is we need to give God the glory. We need to give God the glory. So, and go to chapter number 2 when we look at this one. If it remind you a little bit of the story that happens in chapter number 2. Nebuchadnezzar is asleep and he is awakened out of his sleep by a dream or a nightmare, whatever you want to call it, but it's a dream at this point. And he's there and he has this dream, and with this dream he wakes up and he can't remember. You ever done that before? You're dreaming and you're dreaming and you know it's a good dream and you wake up and you're like, man, why did I have to wake up? It was a good dream, but you don't remember all the details. Sometimes you don't remember it at all. You just remember it was something that was good and you wish you'd go back to sleep. Well, Nebuchadnezzar wakes up and he is not happy because he cannot remember the dream. Look what it says in chapter number 2. We'll go ahead and we'll read a little bit about it. It says in verse number 1, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. You say, well, that sounds like a nightmare. Well, the dream was about this great giant idol that someday he's going to build. And look what it says in verse number 2. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans. They were very religious people. They weren't true believers, but they were religious in the fact that they believed all types of gods. For to show the king his dream, so they came and stood before the king. So the king asks him something, and we're not going to go and read it all for sake of time. King says, I want you to interpret my dream. They're like, okay, we can do that. Tell us the dream. He says, well, that's the problem. I don't remember the dream. And they say, king, no one can do that. No one that is a human can tell you what your dream was. And he gets upset. Verse number 6, he says to him, but if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. He says, just do it. Now, see, once again, he thinks these guys are wise men. He thinks these guys are sorcerers. He thinks they have some type of special powers that they can do these things. And once again, he fed all these guys. He took care of all these guys. He depended on these guys for to tell him which way to go and what to do. He had these all these wise men. And, you know, he says, look, you should be able to do this. This is why I have you here for. He says, and if you cannot do this, I'm going to kill you. That's pretty rough. And they're like, and if you read the story, it's kind of a neat story. You know, even on verse number 10, it says, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show you the king's matters. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician's or astrologer. They're trying to reason with him. They says, nobody asked this from us. Nobody can do this. And the truth is, no one could. But Daniel knew that God could. And you go into the story here, Daniel's amongst this group. Now, I know he wasn't a sorcerer, he was a wise man. He's something that the king depended upon and leaned upon because of what happened in chapter number 1. He got a promotion and he was leaned upon there. So Daniel hears, hey, look, you're going to be put to death. And Daniel's like, what? They're going to kill me? Why? And they begin to explain what's happening. And Daniel goes to the king and Daniel asks the king for a little bit of time. King gives him a little bit of time. He goes home that night. He prays. God gives him the answer. And look what it says in verses 27 and 28. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the seeker which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers show unto the king? He's saying, look, we can't do this. But I love verse number 28. At least I love that phrase at the beginning. But there is a God in heaven. You know, all the best and the brightest of the world could not do this. But there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven that can do that. And I love preaching that sermon. You know, there is a God in heaven that can change things. Even though no individual can change it, even though the best and the brightest of the world can't do it, there is a God in heaven that can make everything different. And that's what he says here. There is a God in heaven there is a God in heaven that reveal a seeker who maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions and thy head upon thy bed are these. So you say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Well, and at the end of chapter number 2, Nebuchadnezzar is actually the emperor of the world is on his face before Daniel. And he is praising Daniel. Remember verse number 6, what they said, you know, I will give you anything you want. I'll give you honor. I'll give you riches. Just tell me this. But what does Daniel say in verse number 28? He doesn't turn around and he doesn't say, hey, king, I got your answer for you. He doesn't say, hey, king, guess what? Start piling up my bank account. Start giving me this honor. I want this thing and I want that thing. You know, he says a wise person couldn't do it. He's saying, I cannot do this, but God can. And if we really truly want to declare his glory, if we really truly want to make others declare his glory, we're going to have to learn not to take credit for the things God does. We're going to have to learn and say, it is not me that has done this. It's not, there's nothing good in me. If you could see inside my heart, if you could see inside my mind, this is not the way I want to live. But God has given me instruction and God has given me his word and God has given me a desire to live for him and in his word. And that's the reason why I can forgive. And that's the reason why I can be generous. And that's the reason why I feel like I should be faithful. And that's the reason why I can be a witness. And that's the reason why I care about you when I shouldn't care about you. It's because of God. It's not because I'm some good person. There's nothing special about me. It's God. And that's what he's saying. And Daniel declares his glory, number one, because he purposed in his heart. Number two, he gave God the glory. And so many times when we are tempted, when somebody says something nice about us or somebody commends our service, and once again, it is nice to say thank you, or and it's nice to say praise the Lord. And but, you know, if we truly want to declare his glory, we need to say, you know, it was not me at all. It was God that did that. If there's something special that someone finds out that you did and said, you know what, the Lord led me to do that. I would have done that on my own. On my own, I would have been selfish. On my own, I would have been full of me. But God and his spirit has directed me and led me. It says, you know what? Nobody else could have done it, but there is a God in heaven that did this for you. And so if we truly want to declare his glory, we cannot take the credit all. It is all God's. God, this is yours. God, I believe that this is yours. Let's give him the glory that's due his name. Third thing I want you to think about is in chapter number 4, it talks about give the message that God gives you. Give the message that God gives you. Chapter number 3 is the famous Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego story, and we're not going to get into that. Sometime, maybe even before the end of the year, we might look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because it's the whole idea here that when we declare his glory, people will respond. But where do we see Shadrach, Meshach? Where do we see Nebuchadnezzar? Once again, praising God. Why? Because he believes? No, not because he believes, but because of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Chapter number 4, there's another dream. There's a dream that he has, and he calls for Daniel. And this dream is not as good for Nebuchadnezzar. This dream is God trying to get Nebuchadnezzar to realize who the one true God is. You know, chapter number 1, Daniel purposed in his heart. He was a testimony. Chapter number 2, he did the impossible and gave God the glory. Chapter number 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did the impossible and God got the glory. Chapter number 4, Nebuchadnezzar still does not repent. Nebuchadnezzar still does not believe in God, as we would say, faith in God. So chapter number 4, God gives him a dream and shows him in this dream what is going to happen to him if he does not get right with God. In chapter number 4, Nebuchadnezzar, in chapter number 2, the story, the image, the big statue, kind of gave a compliment to Nebuchadnezzar. Chapter number 4, it's bad news. Chapter number 4, it said that this bad thing is going to happen to you if you do not repent, if you do not get right. And Daniel here, what he could have done, he could have turned around and kind of candy-coated it. He could have, with the interpretation of the dream, he could have said, you know what, king, don't worry about it. But if you're truly going to declare the glory of God, we got to be truthful. If we're truly going to praise him and we're going to truly say his word is high and it's lifted up, and if we're truly going to get other people to praise him and glorify him and declare his glory, we're going to have to give the message that he wants us to give. Not watered down. There's two different sides. There's sometimes some people that are so soft and sympathetic that they don't tell truth. And sometimes there's some people that are so angry and so unapologetic. And once again, I know you don't have to apologize for the preaching and teaching of the gospel, but Christ was a perfect example of truth and grace, truth and mercy both. Some people it seems like they're trying to be arrogant when they're giving out the gospel. Jesus doesn't do that. He presents the truth, but he does it in a way where people can understand. And he does speak sometimes when it's needed with power. And as he's led by the Holy Spirit of God, he speaks to those Pharisees that are full of dead man bones. But that woman that was taken in adultery, he treats her with compassion and with love. Well, how do you know what to do? You be led by the Holy Spirit of God. Let him lead and guide you. But Daniel here in Daniel chapter number 4 says in verse 18 and 19, This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now therefore, about the Belteshazzar, He says, the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. So Nebuchadnezzar is telling him about the dream. Verse number 19, he says, then Daniel was named, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar answered and said, my lord, the king be to them that hate thee and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. So he begins to tell him what the interpretation of the dream is and how it's bad news for King Nebuchadnezzar. In verse number 27, Daniel gives him the message he needs to hear. He tells him the interpretation dream, says, wherefore, king, verse number 27, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off from thy sins by righteousness and thy iniquities, by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. So what does Daniel do? Daniel tells him the truth. He doesn't tell him what he wants to hear. He doesn't tell him what he thinks he needs to hear. He gets the message from God, and he gives the message to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, once again, we might say, oh, that's easy to do. I do that all the time. Do you? This guy is the emperor of the world. This is a guy that could have his head cut off just like that if he wanted to. And I want you to understand that we need to keep giving out a message, and it's a message that comes from God. It's a message that God has placed in our heart to share with other people, and we need to tell them the truth. He says, look, you need to break off from your iniquities. You need to stop doing these things and live a righteous life that God may have mercy on you. And once again, there's a way to say it. But if we're going to get others to declare his glory, we can't water it down, because they're never going to experience the truth unless we explain the truth to them. They're never going to know that God is so great and so good unless we tell him and show him from his word what his word says. Now, we can't take certain things and leave it off. We can't say, well, they don't, that's not really that important. If it's God and God's word, we need to be faithful and true. If we truly want to get others to declare his glory, we got to purpose it in our heart. We got to give God the glory, and we got to give the message that God gives. Let's look at the next story. Daniel's a great book. I know we went through it a few years ago. Next one is Live Above Reproach. Our life should be a holy life. Most of you remember the story, you know, the great Babylonian Empire falls. And I believe it's Darius that comes on the scene, and Darius' empire is there, and Daniel has been lifted up to be kind of one of the first men in charge. Now, this makes the other people unhappy, because Darius puts, there's three princesses there, and Daniel's like the highest ranking one of all of them. The other ones are jealous about that. The other ones say, we need to get Daniel. He has too much power. He has too much authority. Let's watch him. Let's follow him. Let's watch him for a few days, a few weeks, a few months. Let's hire some guys to be a private investigator, and let's find out what his dirty little secret is. And when we find his dirty little secret, we'll bring that before the king, and we'll get them to lose their job, and everything will be great, and everything will be fine. But you'll see in verses 2 through 6 here, they follow him, and they cannot find a fault in him. Look what it says in Daniel chapter number 2. Let's look in verses 2 through 6. It says, and over three presidents, not princes, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might be give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. He's getting ready to get a promotion. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Boy, somebody followed me around for a couple days. They couldn't say that about me. I mean, we're human. We make mistakes. We lose our temper sometimes. Sometimes we're not patient as much. Sometimes we might be smart aleck. Sometimes we're just not kind. They said they watched Daniel. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. Man, what a testimony. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto them, King Darius, live forever. So we remember the story. They tricked the king into making this decree that no one should pray to any other god but the King Darius. But the point of the story is, if we're going to declare his glory and get others to declare his glory, we got to live a life that is changed, a life that shows that God has changed our lives so he can see our good works, a life where they're not going to be able to make accusations towards you. Oh, I remember you did this and you said this. You know, when they're worrying about our sin, how are they ever going to figure out that what God has changed our hearts and lives? And once again, I know none of us are perfect, and I know none of us can say, you know what, I'm guiltless before every single man. I'm sure Daniel had infractions too, but Daniel at that point in time, he had purpose in his heart, and he was purposing his heart in here. I'm going to live for right, and I'm going to do what's right, and I don't care who watches, I don't care who sees, I'm still going to do what's right. He lived a life that was above reproach, and that's a way that people are going to give God glory, because they're going to see that God's made a change in you, and it's not just a change that changes with the weather. It's not a fair weather Christian. It's one who says, I'm purposing in my heart, and I'm going to live for him. And then the last point is be faithful no matter the circumstances. Most of us know the story. Daniel's cast into the lion's den. But before that, it says that they wrote the decree. And in verse number 10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Those last 4 words I love, as he did aforetime. He did the exact same thing. Even though he knew it might cost him his life, he did the exact same thing as he did every single day. He was faithful. Even when it was going to cost him his life. And if you don't know these stories, I go home, read chapters 1 through 5, 1 through 6. Interesting stories. And throughout all this, you see Daniel declaring, and Daniel was faithful. Christian, I know we talk about faithful when he says, be faithful to church. You know, you need to be there when the doors are open, and that is good and that is right. But these people, he was faithful in all of his life for living for God. In every area. Have we gotten there? Not most of us. But that's something we should declare his glory by purposing our heart, that I want to be a witness to my family. I want to be a witness to my church family. I want to declare his glory at my work. I want to declare his glory at the gym or wherever it is that goes. You know, sometimes in our lives, we hear little statements and little things that people say, and they break our hearts because we realize, hey, that's, I didn't really realize that that person felt that about me. I can't believe that's how they felt. And rightfully so or not, did I do things that caused them to feel that way? Now, Daniel here, he was faithful. They try to find things, and he says the only thing we can find wrong with him is that he loved his God too much. And then the last slide altogether, it shows you that the king declares his glory. The kings declare God's glory. Since we're here in chapter number 6, let's actually look in verses 26 and 27. So this is Darius. Listen to what Darius is saying. Darius does not believe in the one true God. Darius has people praying to him. Darius thinks he's his own God. But what's he saying in verses 26 and 27? I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, that men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who have delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. What is he doing? He's declaring the glory of God. This Gentile, wicked king is praising the Lord. Go back and you see there's some other references up there. Look in Daniel chapter 2, verse 47. Daniel 2 and verse 47. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is, that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal the secret. You know what? What's he doing? He's declaring God's glory. Look in chapter 3, verse 29. Now, I know this is Shadrach and Meshach's Abednego's story, but look what Nebuchadnezzar, once again, the evil, wicked emperor. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. He's declaring the glory of God. Look in chapter number 4. Look what it says in verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, his kingdom is from generation to generation. Is there somebody in your life that you would like to see declared glory of God? I mean, is there somebody, and I'm not talking about just the person that maybe is getting close to getting saved, or children that are living for God, that they're kind of right. I'm talking about a sinner that knows he's a sinner, doesn't care. Because that's what Nebuchadnezzar is. That's what Darius is. They think that they're their own gods. I mean, one made this big, huge statue, and the other one said, "You pray to me or I'm going to kill you." I mean, these are wicked, wicked men. And what are they doing? They're declaring God's glory. So if there's someone in your life that you're saying, man, I'd love to hear them sing the praises of God and be sincere and mean it. Purpose in your heart. Give God the glory. Give the message that God gives you. Live above reproach and be faithful no matter the circumstances. This Bible is filled with characters that said, I want to manifest and communicate plainly to others that I believe God is magnificent, that God is beautiful, and splendor of God deserves praise and adoration and honor and praise. And my life is going to show that. It's full of characters like that. Daniel's one of those. That's what our theme's all about this year. We should declare on purpose to make known, to tell explicitly, to manifest and communicate plainly to others, I believe my God is great. And I'm going to live for him. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to help others declare this glory. I want to live a life that's going to declare his glory too. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. As we get ready to go to this Thanksgiving season and Christmas season, we're going to see lots of people. We're going to have lots of different opportunities and lots of different things that we can and cannot do to declare his glory. Let's make sure we make a commitment during this very, very busy and hectic time. We're going to take the time to try to live a life that's going to help others see and want to declare his glory too. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us. Lord, we hear the story of Daniel.